Now, at today's standards, there's a deli in the supermarket, so you need to have a grease trap for the deli.
Why is there a septic tank?
That's the way it works in the wall. You have a septic tank, and then you have the effluent pumps into the system.
Okay.
It's not a full sewer system.
Okay.
The other septic tank does serve these buildings back behind here, but they're existing uses. And the new uses, as I pointed out before, will be about the same size or a little less square footage. So those septic tanks are both being moved back from the edge just for the trying to avoid a future failure and hazard to the estuary. The area right here is more than a few feet, and that's because this easement comes up and jogs real strongly to the north. There's a wall right here, which we try to make our wall fit that wall, so we have a gap in here, and so we do have a deviation away from the easement at this point. And it's wider there, but generally we follow it right along the movement line there. Drainage is a matter of a lot of confusion, I guess. This drain line here is a slotted drain line, and it's to collect all of the drainage from Highway 1 into the, and including all the parking lot. Then there's two lines that would serve the trail, and as someone pointed out, the property owner, unfortunately, has the liability of protecting against damage from his property to some other property. So we put in a drain line to pick up the drainage off the trail, because now the trail comes down and goes off into this adjacent property, which leads water down this way and could potentially erode, could threaten this wall over here. That's why we picked up specifically this trail water. The water in the parking lot will all be treated right here, which that facility is in the trail easement, as is that septic tank. But they're ground level facilities, which people can talk about. Obviously, it's cement, concrete tops, which some people don't like the looks of. But that is a convenient place to put them, and it resolves having the parking lot back here. By the way, I've been here many a time because I like to go eat my lunch there, and I can almost never find a place to park right at the edge of the bluff. So there's a lot more use of this parking.
Can I ask you, in the settlement, does it specifically allow for the in the easement?
Any other structure is not. Any structure above ground, like a building, you couldn't put a building in the easement. There's no question about that. If it's conforms with the ground surface, people can walk over it safely and do that.
The other thing is, did you have a comment about restoration or how the wall could accommodate vine plants?
Another project, we had a maintenance monitoring plan, which I assume would be required by condition number 2, I believe it is, in these conditions. And what that is usually is a very rigorous plan of how you're going to plant the materials, how you're going to maintain them, how you're going to weed the materials. Over a designated point of time, there are reporting requirements on an annual basis. And the one project I've been involved with in Ukiah, we've had circuit riders do the work for us, who've been quite proficient. We had to plant over a couple thousand oak trees, and they propagated the oak trees from the native species there, which they would do here. We've talked with them. And we've learned a lot about botanical resources, and I think we can accommodate that. We flattened a little bit of this area in front of the wall, actually for access and for ease of weeding, that sort of thing. I would certainly be willing to work with the Plant Society and with the circuit riders or any other professional, and if we can have less impact on the front of the wall and not compact that area, make it more productive for plant growth, we can certainly do that as part of our planning. So I don't think that's a major problem, but I think there is accountability built into the conditions that are stated already. We've had experience that shows that accountability does work.
Did you address the vines attaching themselves to the concrete?
The concrete is a roughened surface. I'm not an expert in vines. I can't tell you what it will, but it's not a smooth concrete face like you'd imagine. It's a roughened surface which has crevices and has areas which I would think, as a layman, would be able to support vines growing on it. If it's not, then I suppose you could also install wires out front of it or whatever other requirements there would be to get some vines to grow out in the area. And obviously, Mr. Bauer would have to maintain that to form a mitigation.
How high is this wall?
Generally, it's about 6 feet long in here. Good point, though, because we've had the slip out here, a debris flow here and a debris flow there. Our concern is that we get several more of these, and I agree that these walls don't look as nice as the natural landscape, but if we continue to have these slip outs and debris flows, you're going to see a series of gashes down through this bluff, which will actually be worse. It's one of our concerns. We take care of the problem now once and for all. Yeah, the trail will be disrupted, there's no question about it. But over time, if we have to go in here every 5 years or 10 years, whenever there's a big storm and a portion of this bluff washes away, there'd be a lot more disruption of the trail. The potential for losing the trail on an intermittent basis is a lot higher. And our recommendation to Mr. Bauer was, let's just take care of it once and for all and be done with it, because we can see the pattern starting to develop here. The wall, to answer your question, the walls here and here would be, I think this is around 25 feet high, although the total visible is not quite that much, and this is about 12 or 14 feet high there.
We don't have jurisdiction over the
25-foot
tall part. That's
well,
the coast.
Well, I'm just trying to get a sense of how visibility is blocked or not. So you're saying it ranges anywhere from 6 feet up to 25 feet, depending on 4 feet, 3 to 4 feet is to 6 feet on the subject.
Okay.
To 12 feet, rather, on the subject's front.
So most of it will be the low part, most here to there.
That being the 3 feet people? An average of 5 feet. It goes from, there's a portion that's about 3 to 4 feet, mm-hmm. There's a portion that's 5 to 6 feet, and then there's that 12-foot portion.
But there is also a regional park on the other side of the river where you walk and you look across and you see the bluff, and it would be very visible, completely visible from there.
Mr.
Allen.
Right, it's been properly depicted here. The bottom part is down here, and the lower half is roughly covered up with either dirt, the way we had planned it, or we could just notch in and save the existing dirt and vegetation. As I say, it's an area which could be worked with the botanists a bit more on and try and make it as amenable to plant growth or retention plants as possible.
But the entire wall is not exposed. The majority.
No, I think this is fairly accurate. There's part of it shows being exposed, part of it's being underneath the ground.
Right.
Mr. Hall, could one make the distinction, or could one make the clarification that these septic tanks are actually called interceptor tanks? So it's not be confused about it. The septic systems were abandoned when the sewer system came to town, mm-hmm. and thus also the leach fields. Interceptor tanks, they intercept the solid and alleviate the need for a leach field and thus open up more land for development. The property owners had input in where they wanted the interceptor tanks located on their property. I just want to clarify that also.
Do you have any concern with calling them interceptor tanks as opposed to septic tanks?
That's what the GCSD does call them.
Okay.
People use the word septic tank synonymously. Yeah. It's a misnomer.
Could I just ask that there be a statement put in the memo in the file that just says we're using the terms interchangeably? Okay. With that, then I will close the public hearing. Actually, I shouldn't, because I'm going to ask a couple of questions that you may want to respond to. I'm leaning towards approving the project, but I'm also concerned that there's been an awful lot of community involvement in constructing a trail that, in essence, we're losing now, for probably a year, potentially 2 years, or at least 2 seasons. And I'm not an attorney, I'm not a judge. It seems that though when you don't allow someone to use the easement that they have the right to use, that there should be some compensation for that. Is there someone here that could speak on behalf of RCLC that could comment upon compensation to RCLC for the loss of the use of that easement for a particular period of time.
I'm the treasurer, but I don't think I can.
Maybe you could answer, am I way off base with this, or you're just so opposed to it
we've ever talked about
that you can't agree? You, okay.
I don't think that can equate it to dollars.
Okay, well, I'm looking at it from that, from not the aesthetic point of view. I mean, obviously, that's an issue as well, but just for the time, for the moment, looking at it from a public access point of view. And one of the charges under the coastal plan is to provide and maintain public access, and we're losing that public access for some period of time. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into to constructing that. So there's, A, the reconstruction of that in kind, but also, B, the loss of the use of that easement, you know, for a relatively substantial period of time, at minimum 4 months. And potentially, it sounds like it could be 16 months, unless I'm missing something. So I put that discussion out there for people to chew on, or maybe I'm just way off base
but
with
I
the discussion at all.
One of the problems is that our community, visitors of our area, have found the trail. I work on the trail a lot, so I've talked to them, and they reiterate what some of the people have said today, is this is the best thing that's happened to Wallala in a long time. How could any money be, I mean, it's not just RCLC that's affected, it's our whole community, and it's all the people who visit the area. They also will have the loss of the trail, which they have just recently, a lot of people have said, I never knew this was here before, and it's just such a wonderful addition. I come here every day.
Let's keep it focused, though, just to that narrow issue that I mentioned.
But I don't
know
how you compensate for that for the public.
Okay, that's fair. Yes, on this narrow issue.
I think that you just kind of struck on a direction. One of the things that one of the folks said here is that there's no access to the south end of the trail because of a lack of lateral access. And if you really get down to it, I'm not sure what the total distance is during the course of construction, but couldn't mitigation measures such as a detour and talking to Henry about possibly accelerating access down, Henry Sue, about accelerating access down the south side?
So you're still closing down the middle of the trail.
A section of the middle. But isn't there a way to be able to detour around that section and to be able to still gain access to the north and the south? I think that there are ways to do it if there was a dialogue, rather than just shutting off one whole south end of the trail because there isn't a current pathway or a walkway down to it.
But there's a key player you're not talking about right now, and that's the Coastal Commission. They have to make a decision on the south end of the trail.
Teresa?
I just wanted to comment that I don't think that this project necessarily is the reason that impacts are going to be occurring. As Mr. Rao pointed out, there are going to be failures, as have already occurred.
I'm going to ask you to keep it narrow to just
and
the issue that I talked about.
Those failures are going to result in temporary closures over time. So because this is a closure, it's a one-time deal, it's just going to happen.
Yeah. Did you want to say something else about?
Yes. I believe that there's probably some alternate potentials, but as I start to look at how all the construction equipment moves around, there's probably no way that we can keep folks out near the bluff edge. They would have to be inland someplace, and we might be able to focus on some form of alternative route. But as I start to look at the way the surf market is constructed, and the loading ramp and dock and the trash enclosures, everything just seems to lend itself to this really doesn't work. I will do my best to talk with a neighbor to the south to see if I can get something temporary right on the south edge of this, so that people can go from right near our property through that southerly expanse of the trail where they have their nice new pedestrian bridge and the walkway behind the breakers. But all I can do is talk with them and ask them if we can do a temporary set of steps or something that meets code there, if that would be applicable. And I don't know whether RCLC feels that's good enough or not.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think every alternative has so many dominoes that need to fall into place, and temporary steps are probably subject to a permit, and, you know, talking to a neighbor, and what are the chances that the neighbor's going to, you know, just good ideas, but I'm not sure that all the dominoes, you know, will eventually line up. I do want to direct staff to prepare a condition, however, that talks about as expeditiously as possible returning the trail to its current in-kind status, and so that would make the county a party to this permit as well, and so that it's not just entirely the responsibility should things go south, and that there's not movement in terms of reconstructing that trail in a satisfactory time frame. It's not just the burden of RCLC to go back to court, but that there's a county burden as well, because there's a public resource at risk here, being the coastal access. So I would ask staff to prepare that, so prior to taking a final action, I'll ask that condition be prepared. I'll just make some statements for the record, and that while there are certainly reasons to deny the project, and I think people have very eloquently stated their rationale, the aesthetics of it, other things, I think, in my view, on balance, however, that I think there's more reasons to approve the project than to deny the project. Those reasons are that it does protect existing development. A parking area is a development. If you look back, and I look back at the aerial photographs from, I think, as far back as 1979 or 1987, and there is some parking that occurs out here. It's gotten more formal as the years have gone on, and clearly, you know, when the market was constructed, and I'm assuming it was approved with this in addition, you know, there was an acknowledgement that there's traffic that's moving back that direction. And again, with respect to looking at photographs, and I think the first photograph that I found on the Coastal Record site was, I think, 1979. I could be wrong on that date, and it, as I recall, there was some parking in the area, clearly not as formal as it is today, and my suspicion is there's been maintenance and rock and things added to the site over the years, but it has for many, many years been an area where people park vehicles. Has it been a formal parking lot? You know, you could argue it's not a formal parking lot, you know, even today, it's your definition. People have parked cars there for many, many years. There's been a septic tank there, and so it does protect the existing development. In some ways, it does improve the existing situation relative to drainage. It formalizes it, takes it, treats it, takes it off-site, takes it away from the trail area. So it does reduce erosion. It treats that stormwater that's coming out of a parking lot. And I'm assuming at the current time it's not treated water that's coming through there. The staff report has recommended approval, and I've done a very good job of addressing issues. It's in an area that's zoned mixed use, Guala Village mixed use. This is in an area that under the plan, these are areas that we should be increasing development or allowing for development. There are some areas that are off limits to development in the coastal plan. There are some areas that we're saying are appropriate for urban level development, and especially as the Guala town plan emphasizes a walkable downtown area with densities commensurate with a walkable community. This fits that urban village concept. In approving this, I'm relying in great part upon the responses. I'm relying upon the staff report. I'm relying upon the response letters from staff, as well as the response letters that have been prepared by Rowan Associates. Put a great deal of faith in Rao and Associates. I've dealt with different engineering firms in the county, and Rao and Associates is at the top of that list. I'd also, and lastly, point out that GMAC, which I view as the voice of the community for, or at least as an official body for the voice of the community, voted in favor of this project 4-2. It clearly was not unanimous, and it's evidence today that that there's different viewpoints for this. So I will be approving the project, but I am asking staff, before I formally do that later today, I'll ask staff to prepare another special condition that talks about expeditiously replacing the trail in kind, and that makes the county a party to the conditions, and if it's not done so, then RCLC and the county would then have the right to bring legal action against the applicant. So we're going to take a break then. It's 1 o'clock. We'll take a break till 2 o'clock. That give you time for lunch and time to prepare a condition. So we'll be back in session at 2 o'clock to formally take an action on this application.
Hey, Ray, the woman from the school district came as well. She's in the back room.
Okay, now. We'll go ahead and hear that one. You don't need to stick around for that one.
He's going to hear the school.
Oh, I should point out the case is appealable. It can be appealed to the County Board of Supervisors or to the Coastal Commission. So anyone who does not concur with the decision has the right to appeal my decision.
Within how many days?
From assuming I take action later today, there's a 10-day working notice.
10 calendar days to the local Board of Supervisors.
10 calendar days to the Board of Supervisors, and then after that appeal period has run, we give a notice of final action to the Coastal Commission, and then there's 10 working days from the date that they received our notice of final action.
Okay, thank you.
If you need any help with those, you can call us, Lori. We can let you know what the deal is with the appeal. When the notices are going out.
Okay.
Hey, Mary Sue. Mary Sue, can you leave anything that you put up? Can you leave that picture? Please.
Does it matter?
It's part of the record.
It does. If you need to copy it, you can, but we need to keep it in our file.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I think you already have the copy of the retaining wall.
I talked to Bauer this morning. He's not going to do anything, and we do think it is the Coastal Commission. So he's going to give me a written description of what he's doing, and I'll play middleman, and we'll figure out if it needs a permit or not.
Okay, right.
Back at 2 o'clock. Okay, we're back in session. It's November 19th, 2007. It continued CDP 55-2006. Bauer till after the lunch hour so that a condition could be prepared addressing reconstruction of the trail. So I'll read the memorandum since it's fairly short. At the hearing held November 19th for CDP 55-2006, the CPA requested clarification regarding septic infrastructure and the addition of a special condition provided as follows. Staff hereby clarifies that all references in the subject staff report to septic tanks are meant to refer to interceptor tanks. Septic infrastructure on-site serves to intercept the septic materials which are piped off-site for treatment. Staff recommends the following special condition be added to the subject staff report to address CPA concerns. Special condition number 8. As expeditiously as possible, the applicant shall return the existing coastal trail within the easement area on the subject parcel to its currently existing status and condition. The intended condition is to include the county's responsible party together with RCLC to enforce the requirement that replacement and reconstruction of the trail occur as soon as possible. Prior to the temporary closure of the trail, the applicant shall submit an inventory of the existing trail to the satisfaction of the Coastal Permit Administrator. CPA shall refer the inventory to RCLC for review and comment. So I'll ask the applicant, or I'll open it up. Are there any comments to this memorandum?
Yes.
Get your name, please, for the record.
John Bauer, the applicant, the owner of the property under the Coastal Love Trail. I'm concerned that there may be some items of unpermitted that are going to be replaced that I have yet to potentially complain about that are unpermitted in the trail. And I want to make sure that county staff understands that that it will be replaced to the extent that permitted. And if there's something that's of a problem there, RCLC and I need to sit down and discuss those to see if we can resolve those.
Can you give me a hypothetical example here?
The boulders are not part of the permitted. They have actually obstructed our ability to pass through, beyond, over the trail with any equipment. Mounds wouldn't have been a problem as permitted. The boulders are unpermitted.
Any staff comment, and would that be something that would be necessary to be shown on the...
I think that's something that RCLC and Bauer need to work out in agreement before we can obviously proceed. Well, I mean, it needs to be something that's approved by the Coastal Permit Administrator, but it needs to be something that they both agree is there and needs to be replaced.
And what I would say is, Rick Miller, the staff coordinator for the trail, was that we required a landscape plan. And there was a landscape plan that was submitted and approved and included groups of plantings and
mounds
of soil to give it some appearance. And, you know, I don't know that it was meant to be all-encompassing necessarily, but I think the size of these boulders, you know, if they're really large, they could have required approval. I mean, we've said the same for log benches. I'm not sure that large boulders would be any different.
The boulders were essential, though, to contain the dirt that was washed out on the trail. The only way to do mounds, you couldn't plant in that compacted soil. Here's a photo, by the way. I'm not sure if that one's in the file. It shows the trail.
I mean, and I would just say that we would probably look pretty liberally on the placement of materials to landscape the trail in general, because we weren't very concerned about those types of things. Mounds and plants, they could have asked for as many as they wanted, and we probably would have approved it. But if the property owner has a problem with them, then, you know, I don't know that they weren't included in the plan. They weren't in the plan.
Okay, is there anything that we need to do about the condition, or just leave the condition as is and let it get worked out, you know, over time? Okay, any other comments?
I'd like to make comments. John, I'm going to make it. With your permission.
Well, it has to be specific to this condition.
Can I make a comment as the owner?
Sure.
John, it seems like this is a perfect opportunity to be open a dialogue and start talking.
Oh, yes, no question.
I don't think it needs to go through the permit administrator if you can come to an agreement.
Okay.
Open for dialogue.
If you all feel that we come to an agreement, everything's fine,
then
you don't have an issue with
that. Yeah, I mean, and maybe I'm way off base. My assumption would be if we saw some rocks out there that, you know, we're looking at it from the perspective, is it in any way, you know, damaging a resource? Is it in any way blocking public access? I mean, I think that would be our charge, you know, in terms of having rocks out there or not, and we would just accept them as a minor amendment or revision of the landscape plan.
Or blocking access.
But if you look at our perspective and the right to get to our property beyond the easement, which there is a substantial amount of property beyond the easement, we cannot do that now with equipment because it's physically blocked with rocks. The rocks are so narrowly placed that equipment can't go through or go down the trail.
I think
neither one of those we can work out. It's impossible.
If I could just interject, I think this is one small aspect of the difference of opinions that RCLC is having with Mr. Bauer, and I think there's going to be several places where they clash, and this is just one of them. So I think the condition's fine, if I'm comfortable with it.
Okay. I'll close public hearing. find that proper notice has been given for this project, find that environmental impacts identified in the staff report have been mitigated to a level of less than significant, and adopt a negative declaration, make the findings contained in the staff report. I will approve the project with the conditions as identified, which would be the standard conditions in the staff report, plus special conditions as contained in the memorandum dated 11/19 from Teresa Badeau, and I trust people have a copy of that, and also and add special condition number 8 as per the November 19th 2007 memo from Teresa Badeau.
Do you also want to modify condition number 2 to conform with the number of the system?
That's the only one that's referring to.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we have
it.
So it's in there.
There's a, I'll get you another copy of the modification that shows the full list of modified conditions.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Well, that's the one that removed the 5 gallon, correct?
Yes.
And that is revised
that
in
is
here.
That is revised memo, okay. And I guess they didn't get the copy memo.
Okay, with that then, the project is approved, can be appealed to either the Board of Supervisors or the California Coastal Commission.
Ray, what's the next step? Does it go to the Board of Supervisors?
Only appeal to the Board. Can be either appealed to the Board of Supervisors, or it could be appealed to the Coastal Commission, or it could stop at this level if there is no appeal.
A $795 appeal fee to the clerk of the board to do a local appeal.
I mean, at the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
And then what's the fee at the coastal?
There is no fee.
Oh, man.
To appeal to the Coastal Commission. That doesn't start until our local appeal period ends.
Which is?
Approximately 2 weeks.
That's 10 days?
Yes.
And then what's the time period after that?
10 working days once the Coastal Commission receives our notice of final action.
And just for the record, I previously stated, you know, my reasons for approval. Maybe I should restate those again. That it does protect the existing development, including the septic tank and parking lot. It reduces erosion from the site, including treating stormwater. It's recommended for approval in the staff report. I'm relying in great part upon the staff report, as well as response letters from staff and Rao and Associates to two letters that have been submitted, or three letters actually, that I have faith in the engineering firm that's associated with this project, as well as a recognition that this is a Koala mixed village mixed use area where intense urban development is appropriate. And finally, that GMAC on a 4-2 vote endorsed this project. So that project is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. $799 appeal at the county, but they didn't have to do that. They can just go straight to the Coast Commission. That explains why so many appeals are done to the Coast Commission at a local level.
That's certainly a large reason for it.
Do you send out any notice of your approval?
No. Nothing? Nope. But you're more than welcome to it. If you're not clear on what was just approved, we can provide it to you.
Great.
No, I have to.
Okay. No, that's it. We don't send anything out. Thank you.
It just seems so backwards. I would think that it would be a zero appeal cost to the county, and a $7.99 should go at the Coast Commission.
Well, I can't dictate what the Coastal Commission charges. You know, that's for them. The county is covering its costs for processing.
But then the Coast Commission doesn't have to cover costs?
Apparently, they, I guess, view it as a public service that's being provided through the appeal process. And so there's no fee for an appeal at the Coastal Commission level.
I'm going to blurt it out. It just seems like a usurping of local government process to me. When they don't charge anything and they can stop a project, but the county has to recover its due cost to pay Teresa and Rick and you and everybody else.
Actually, it's part of the legislative packet for, I think, last year, as well as recommended for this year. We're requesting state legislation that either requires that these be heard by the Board of Supervisors before an appeal to the Coastal Commission, or that the Coastal Commission charge for service rendered.
I heard something about that. It does make sense. I mean, it's... So this could literally go right past the Board of Supervisors. They won't hear a thing. It'll just end up at the Coastal
Commission. I would suspect that's
where it's going to go. What happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Teresa, you did a great job.
Thank you.
Rick, you did a great job.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, you handled the gavel well.
Thanks.
So thank you all for your time.
Thank you, right. Mr. Bauer. Nice to see you.
See you guys. Well, Ray, you'll be around tomorrow. I'd like to stop and say hi.
Okay. I've got board hearings tomorrow. So
well, yeah, I'm going to be there tomorrow, too.